more talents. But the one who had received the one talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, "Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." And the one with the 2 talents also came forward, saying, "Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." Then the one who had received the 1 talent also came forward, saying, "Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours." But his master replied, "You wicked and lazy slave. You knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one with the 10 talents. For to all those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." The word of the Lord. For this sermon, you're going to have to blame Steve. Last week after church, Steve had the guts to come up to me and say, "Can I offer you a gentle wondering or noticing?" I said, "Sure." He said, "When you read your sermons, we lose contact with you, but when you look up and really look at us, it makes me feel more connected." And I said, "Steve, you know, I've done that back and forth, gone back and forth between manuscripts, partly because I'm such a creative person, I want to say it just right. And so when I write it out, there it is." But I said, "You know what, that's a good idea. I will consider that." So I am 20 to 25 years of a peasant's working life. And because their lifespans were shorter back then, it almost was half to three quarters, if not a full person's life of work, their vocation. So when Jesus talks about money, and he uses money several times in the Gospels, it is one way for him to point to that what he's talking about points to the spiritual life, but it's as important as money. It's really important to pay attention to when he talks about money in his parables and stories. So this parable is really about the single talent guy who buries the talent in the sand. Now, I've always been intrigued and puzzled by his excuse to the master when their master asks for an account of what he's done with the 1 talent. And he says, "I knew you were this harsh kind of guy, and I knew you reaped where you didn't sow and gathered in where you didn't sow seeds." And for me, it's like, wait a minute. Your master is known for making a lot out of almost nothing. So why wouldn't you be more encouraged to invest or try something with your talent? He uses that as an excuse because I think he was afraid. And I think he was afraid to fail. Afraid to fail. I don't even know if it's still on television anymore, but the show, The Fear Factor, do you remember that show? I mean, it played on people's fears. So if you just happened to be afraid of worms, you had to either eat a worm or sit in a vat of worms up to your neck. Or if you were afraid of heights, you would have to bungee jump off a bridge where the bungee cord would, you know. So it really, fear sells on television. So so what are you afraid of? Spiders? Public speaking? Doing a sermon without a text in front of you? Your in-laws? We're all afraid of something. But I think what happens is that we really are, in many ways, afraid to fail. Or afraid to be seen as a failure. This is such a common feeling in our culture, in a sense of anxiety. However, the truth is, you and I fail all the time. We fail all the time. We fail several times every day. We don't return a phone call in a timely fashion. We didn't get something done that we promised to somebody, oh, I'll get it done by Tuesday. Not there. All these little ways that we let other people down, let ourselves down. We don't even hold up to our own little to-do list. I'm going to get this done this week, and we don't. So failure really is such a common thing for us. Why are we so afraid of it? I had to ask myself that question this week when I was working on the sermon. Why am I afraid to get up there and stumble over my speech while I'm giving a sermon? Because I don't want you guys to look at me and think, God, he's horrible. But you know, fear is something we need to face. Now I hate doing this, but I'm going to use a sports metaphor. Baseball is a wonderful game. We just got finished with the World Series. Go San Francisco Giants. I was raised, my first baseball game was I was 12 years old. San Francisco Giants, I got a foul ball. So I was hooked as a San Francisco Giants fan. The average baseball player, every time when he gets up to bat, fails 3 out of 4 times. That's an average baseball player. A very good baseball player fails 2 out of 3 times when he gets up to the plate. Failure is built-in part of the game. Why are we so afraid of failing? I think what we can do is we can maybe start a new 12-step group. Hi, my name's Tim, and I'm a failure. Go ahead, try it. See what it feels like. Just say, hi, my name is, use your own name and say, and I'm a failure. Go ahead, try it. Hi, my name is, and I'm a failure. Doesn't that feel kind of freeing, kind of frees you up a little bit from all that other stuff that we just put so much pressure on ourselves? Now, you might be thinking, Tim, you're pushing this a little too far. But I really do think that is something about our fear of failure that makes us bury our talents and gifts, our lives, out of the fear of being seen as a failure. And so what it does is really clips our life short. It makes us not live fully into the person that God has created us to be. I loved to swim when I was a kid, and then I became a water safety instructor in college, teaching adults how to swim. And one of the things that is a turning point for people when they're learning to swim is they have to submerge themselves enough in the water for them to suddenly realize and feel it in their body that their body naturally will begin to float. So for me, if there's some sense of just, yes, I'm a failure, or seeing our failure, submerge yourself in failing so you get the sense that, you know, it's not going to kill you. It's not the end of the day, and it really doesn't say that much about you anyway. Thomas Edison, near the end of his life, was working on finding that magical filament that would make light bulbs work. And a manager in his company came up to him one day and said, Mr. Edison, I'm sorry to report, but we have done 1,000 experiments on trying to find the filament that will work. And every one of those experiments failed. We failed in this process. And Thomas Edison says, that's nonsense. We know 1,000 ways it doesn't work. Thomas Edison had a way of embracing failure in the process of moving forward in his discovery of the light bulb. I don't want us to embrace failure in such a sense that then we just start falling into self-pity, saying, poor me, all the time. But there really is something about embracing failure as part of what it means to be human being and to get where you want to go in life. When I was becoming an artist, I worked at a place in Berkeley, California called the 4th Street Studio, and it was a large failed.com warehouse that was as big as this sanctuary. And there were 25 or so artists that worked in this place, and it was open to the public. And so while I'm working on a painting, someone could walk in and look over my shoulder. And at first, it was like I almost had to stop painting because, oh no, don't look at it now because it's not where I want it to be. It looks like, ugh. And I was afraid they would judge me. Oh, he's a bad artist. Look at that thing. But I realized, and this is something that we say in the art world, is you have to be willing to make bad art, because when you want to make good art, you have to go through the bad art to get to where you want to be. And it was such a relief for me when I realized that people could look at one of those paintings and think, that's horrible. But they would come back a week later and they would see the finished product and they would go, wow. So it helped me not judge myself or judge other people, because we're all works in progress. I was doing one painting once where I was stuck and I stared at it a long time. I knew when fear starts to get a hold of me, I don't paint at all. I just stare, trying to figure out what to do next. And then I'm going to try this violet color on the face of the main person in the painting. And when I tried that, it was, I have ruined the painting. I absolutely have ruined the painting. And I was so mad for about 30 seconds. But then the freedom of the painting is now ruined actually freed me up to where I could try something different now much more easily. And then I tried a bright red on the painting, and suddenly the mood I was looking for was right there in front of me. I was too afraid to try it earlier, but now, because I was freed because of failure, I could actually try something new that came to life, and the painting really worked. Growing up, my mom was the church pianist, played Sunday morning, Sunday night, evening worship, and she played at the Wednesday evening prayer meeting. When I was 7 years old, she asked me if I would sing a song for the Wednesday night prayer service. And so I said, okay, and we practiced hard at home. When I got there that Wednesday night, I sang, felt really good. I got to the last chorus and I just completely forgot everything. I had the words in front of me, but I couldn't find the words. I completely lost it, blew it. My big debut was a disaster. My internship year, working at the State College Presbyterian Church in Pennsylvania, I got up to sing a song. I was doing great. Started out, and suddenly it's like, wait, I started with the wrong verse. I had skipped the line or something. I said, can I start that over? They all laughed. So I'm going to sing a song, another chance for me to fail doing music right now. This song is from one of my favorite singer-songwriters, and it's called Falling Down Is As Common As the Rain. It's a song about a relationship that fails, but what it is really is an invitation to see failure as just a part of what we go through in life. It's as common as the rain, and it doesn't really say anything deeply about you. So listen to the words of the song. Night before she's leaving, suddenly a change. She slowly sits beside me, she softly calls my name. She gives me an address, she says to visit soon. Yesterday she wouldn't notice that I was in the room. I guess she stayed away, 'cause it was hard for her. Our hopes up, and love just slipped away. She's worried I might try to burn her with all the blame. Breaking up my heart as if she planned it from the start. And just 'cause that's the way some people do. Oh, but I have been on her side. I said, don't feel ashamed, don't feel guilty for the pain. Sometimes you build your hopes up and fall back down again. The time we had was magic, and the
was not in vain. The falling down's as common as the rain. Well, something about me leaves you cold. It's something even you don't know. Now don't think that it's wrong to go. Those magic times, I'd rather keep you in my mind than see you try to fake the feelings, trying not to be unkind. So now don't feel ashamed, don't feel guilty for the pain. Sometimes you build your hopes up and fall back down again. The time we had was magic. Love was not in vain. Falling down's as common as the rain. The only thing for certain is that nothing stays the same. And falling down's as common as the rain.
A woman named Bonnie McLemore writes, living within the boundaries of one's decisions, in turn, means enduring the dread of knowing that in the midst of chaos, one sometimes chooses poorly or wrongly and often meets expectations partially and inadequately. One faces loss and failure continually. I think one way of describing the Christian life is that Jesus has demands or presses demands on us. They're worthy demands of living a life of love, a life within the kingdom of God. And it's easy to fall short trying to live up to those demands of living the Christian life. So failure is going to be such a regular part of our experience, but it doesn't need to hold us down, to make us bury our lives so nothing happens at all. In 1982, I went with some friends to Puerto Rico. And we were, our host, Vivian, lived in Puerto Rico, and so she was showing us all around her beloved homeland. The last day that we were there, before flying out the next day, she wanted to show us the highest mountain in Puerto Rico. And so we drove up to a national park up at the top, and as we were getting closer to the top of the national park, the clouds built up. It was becoming really cloudy. And suddenly it starts to rain on us, and we get to the parking lot, and it's raining pretty hard. And so we're waiting, trying to wait it out. It just gets worse and worse. The rain is now coming down in buckets, and we're kind of depressed. And suddenly Vivian turns around and looks at all of us in the car. Her eyes got really big. She opens the car door, and she steps out in the rain, and she is completely soaked in seconds. She starts dancing around in a parking lot that now looks like a lake because there's so much water in it, kicking and splashing water. And she stops and she looks up like this, and she looks at us in the car and she goes, "Come on out. It's only water." And with that, we all jumped out and we're soaked within minutes, and it was one of the best moments of that whole trip. So what part of you is buried out of fear of failure? Falling down is common as the rain. But Jesus says, come on out. It's just water. Amen. I invite you to sing this chant. It's written, the words are written in your bulletin, very simple. It's probably one of the simplest definitions of a saint that I know. We fall down, but we get up. We fall down. Who fell down.
all die.